This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good stormy Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from a very stormy, rainy Ocala, Florida.
Well, it's not stormy here. I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 15th, episode 1339, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
When you're dead, you're done, so let the good times roll.
Actually, B.B. King is perfect for this morning.
You just peeling it?
Well, we just have this massive storm. If we get dropped off the air, it's because we have this huge storm coming across Florida, and it's dark as night outside and raining cats and dogs, and the thunderstorms haven't even gotten here yet. So,
well, we really didn't get to finish Wednesday's show, so it's about par for the course for the week.
Well, we got an hour in on Wednesday. If we get a half an hour today, we'll have a whole show.
Man, that was annoying. Skype crashed all over the world.
I know. That's why we had a short show on Wednesday, is because we couldn't do any more show. We were done. Skype crashed, and it was right as we were getting Victoria on, and it was just at that moment that she said hers crashed. She was actually thought it was on her end, so she was trying to load Skype onto her phone to do it from there, and yeah, of course that didn't work. So.
Bless her little heart. Okay. You guys, so it's massive storms there. We had massive storms a couple weeks ago. My arena is still flooded. We have had more cross-country water jump practice than you can imagine.
There you go. See, there's a positive.
Everybody in the neighborhood is coming to my house to practice in my arena. That's how embarrassing this is.
Scooter'd be having a blast. You wouldn't get him out of there.
I know. He really would.
He'd be rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. That's funny. Well, a lot of sad news with actors, but Professor Snape died.
I know, and very, very sad. Alan Rickman passed away. We just have to make mention of it. He was, he's in one of my favorite movies, Sense and Sensibility. He plays...
I thought you were going to say Love Actually.
And Love Actually.
I knew that was going to be in there.
Such a good one. And Love Actually, he was just amazing. So obviously, are you a huge Die Hard fan?
Well, yes. I really like the first one the best, and that's the one he was in.
Hans Gruber.
Yep, exactly.
I still remember because he was so terrifying. That and Robin Hood when he played...
That was Prince of Thieves, wasn't it?
But with Robin Loxley, who was Kevin Costner. Oh my God, he was so dreamy in that movie.
Did you read what Daniel Radcliffe said about him?
Of course,
Harry Potter, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, Alan Rickman is undoubtedly one of the greatest actors I ever will work with. And he went on, I mean, this thing had you tearing up. And he said, you know, he always played the evil character, but he said you would never find anybody more kind, generous, or self-deprecating and funny. And apparently, Alan went to every play that Daniel ever did, whether it was in London or New York or whatever. He always came and always sat in the front row and always watched his plays. He said he didn't have to do that, but he did it. And he said he was one of the best people to work, even though he's one of the most evil people on Harry Potter, right? For 10 movies, he said for the kids, he was the best. He really took care of the kids. And he said he was the first one in the first couple movies of the adults to treat the kids like they were peers and not kids. So he really did have a lot of good
Professor
things to say.
I bet Professor Snape sat in the front row because Harry Potter was using Horcruxes on him. And he had no choice but to sit there and be under a spell. And then Professor Snape was probably like trying to fight back with a different spell. And let's be honest, that's what was really happening. He did play a good guy in Sense and Sensibility, though. Oh, Colonel Brandon, I loved you so.
We are going to have a last-minute guest edition here this morning.
And, Harry Potter?
No, Harry Potter did not call. Oh. I think he's busy over there in London somewhere. But the other thing was, another depressing thing is I got up on Thursday morning and immediately I saw the news that somebody in Florida won and I ran in to get my wallet, to get my ticket. And it wasn't me. I had five tickets, and I had one number out of the five tickets.
Oh, you're kidding.
Just
I haven't
one.
Actually looked at mine yet.
You haven't? You could have been a minor winner of like $7. A couple of our auditors won $7.
I could win $7, and I'm going to contain my excitement and like hopefully sometime when I need gas next is when I'll check the ticket. You know how hard it is to get to a place to check your ticket? Well, I guess I could look at it.
You could just look online.
I know. I guess I could.
Yeah,
that's excuse. When I heard nobody in Arizona won, I didn't care.
There are 5 million articles. However, there were a lot of $1 million winners all across the country.
Oh, snap. I'm going to go get my wallet. Right
so there you go. So you better check that.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. Following a chat up of the most recent horse headlines, the equestrian entrepreneur Brooke Beers stops by and she's going to talk about her new product and company called Horse Holster and Mounted Archery. And in the third half of the show, Really Bad Ads starts the laugh track for the weekend. So stay tuned for the frame, folks.
Well, and I do have an addition to that. In another 10 minutes, we're going to have best-selling author John Katz on to talk about the situation in New York, because all is not appears as what it seems in the headline articles coming out of New York, out of the mainstream press. Apparently, John wrote an article on it yesterday. I reached out to a couple of the drivers we know up there, and they're all keeping their heads down. Apparently, they were kind of blindsided by all of this, and they're really not getting out in the press right now about what's happening. So John Katz will fill us in on what's going on. He has his ear to the ground better than I do. But I do want to get a report because it's not what it seems, and it looks like the mayor's up to shenanigans again.
No.
So, yes.
That guy,
How they went from Giuliani, one of the best mayors to ever clean up New York, to Bloomberg, who at least didn't totally screw it up, to this guy. I mean, everything those other two mayors did to clean up New York is all going down the chuter right now. So, yeah. But I wanted to get John on because it's an important topic and it means a lot to all of us across the country. So, there's just more and more stories like this, and we've been trying to keep in touch with it for the last 5 years, right, Jamie? So,
absolutely,
it's been a long time. But in the meantime, till we get John on, let's do
I've got a story for you.
Can we do Daily Winnies?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Okay.
I forgot we didn't do that yet.
Well, my Daily Winnie is a lot of birthdays. Our sister-in-law, Lynn, happy birthday. Our good friend, Chrissy Joy, who actually auditioned for this. Listeners, Karen, Carol, Shannon.
Sorry.
Every year I give her a happy birthday just so you could give her the Razzies.
I just think that you always have to rub
I do it on purpose.
People almost took my job.
I think it's funny. Listeners, Karen, Carol, Shannon, and Vernie. It's all those people's birthdays in one day, and I have the new happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh my God. That's
that
so
is
awful.
Irritating. I got to say, that is irritating.
I took Thor on a trail ride yesterday and I heard that for, I don't know, I taught a lesson in the empty field. So we were close enough to hear every single whinny and Chili was close enough to kind of see us. So he screamed the whole time and it sounds just like that.
Now tell everybody for new listeners who that whinny is.
That is Chili. He belonged to a border, and the borders decided they, bless his little heart, they really didn't want him anymore. So they were like, what can we do with him? So of course I'm like, I'll just keep him. So he's really old and he's crippled and he's a lesson horse of mine. He totally teach like Uber to, I mean, you can put 2 year olds on him. Obviously it's now Lucas's horse. And he is at the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, not even close to it. Nobody likes him. Yet, if anybody leaves, he does that the entire time. He just screams constantly.
It is kind of annoying. I might have to go with a more gentler one. That would just irritate all of us every time we hear happy birthday.
All of the listeners wanted that one.
I know.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. We might have to get get a new vote on that.
Jen just messaged me. She said he's Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Poor little Charlie Brown. It is. My daily Winnie goes to an auditor of ours, Stephanie Eileen. Stephanie posted yesterday that she had one of those riding breakthroughs. She said it may sound not like a very big deal, but she got to sit. She sat her first canter and she was able to, during a lesson, sit it and be comfortable and not out of balance. And it was the first time she'd done that. And I was just so impressed with everybody's comments. It's such a supportive little auditor room on that Facebook page. And everybody was congratulating her. And then I taught that lesson in the field last night. And I told her I just had a student get it too. Poor little Hannah finally figured out that sit on your tailbone and stick your boobs out. What's so difficult about that? And of course, she's like 13 and her mother's like, I'm like, I went to a dressage, to a instructor and the name is escaping me right now. And British, very awesome event rider. And I audited her clinic and all she constantly said, ladies, tits up, girls. I don't think of it in a second who that was. So she's super famous. So I always liked that she said that. And but you can't say it to kids. So I just like, sit on your tailbone, stick your boobs out. There you go. And so
did she get that? That made sense.
Actually, another person was like, wow, I've never heard that before. I've never heard anybody say that. But it makes sense. So I love it. And anyway, so congratulations to her. You know, riding, especially when you start as an adult, has got to be like, I started trying to ski as an adult. So riding's got to be even harder.
Well, I got to put a plug in for two other shows this week, but you're going to want it, that whole thing is evident in this week's dressage show that'll come out later today, because Stacy Westfall, we all know who Stacy Westfall is from her infamous bridleless saddleless video, right?
Live like you were dying.
And she, you know, it's had what, millions of views.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most viewed horse videos ever. And Stacy is a championship reigner. She won Road to the Horse. She's the only female to win Road to the Horse. And she recently, they just announced this last night, moved to Lexington, Kentucky.
Really?
And Reese got a call one day out of the blue saying, this is Stacy Westfall. Reese didn't know who she was. This is Stacy Westfall, and I would like to take dressage lessons. I do all right over on this west... Do all right, like, right? I do all right over on this western side, but I'd like to take some dressage lessons. And Reese's like, well, I'd like to take reining lessons. So now they're working together. They become best buddies, and Reese is learning reining and Stacy's learning dressage. And last night she was on the show and they were comparing notes about how hard it is to learn another discipline. And it was funny listening to these two talk about where their feet go and how it was so difficult. So for all of you who, you know, are frustrated at times, listen to those two go back and forth. Two professional riders, tops in their business, trying to do something else. They sounded like little kids taking heels down lessons.
Oh my God. They're like Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer. They're like the perfect besties.
It was funny. It was really funny to listen to. And Stacy's so cool anyway. But she was like, I just don't get this dressage thing. I just can't get him to do anything. And Reese is like, I'm trying to do, you know, Reese is trying to do sliding stops with her, you know, legs in the normal position for dressage. And you tend to hit their neck, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very funny to listen to. And also, it's the year of the listener on the Stable Scoop show. So today starts it. That'll come out later today, too. The first Stable Scoop year of the listener. And of course, we had to start with all the auditors' hero. And that's Rhonda Crabtree out of Canada, our only legacy listener who's listened to every episode since day one, 4,400 episodes. And we started the year of the listener. It's kind of cool. We have questions sort of like inside the actor studio. We came up with our own 10 questions that we're going to ask at the end of each interview. And they're fun. And it just went really well. It was so much fun to learn more about Rhonda. So that's going to be starting this week. And if you want to be highlighted on the year of the listener on Stable Scoop, just send me an email, glenn@horseradionetwork.com. We believe every horse person has a story.
Should I apply? Or do you have enough of
me? We know too damn much about you. All right, I'm done with that.
All right. Well,
Jennifer,
cool.
Go ahead and call John. Do you have the phone number? We'll get him on now. And why don't you do a quick news story while we're waiting for him?
Well, I just thought that it was pretty cool. Charlotte, you know, the Brook is a charity that we're going to highlight a little bit more coming up this year. But the Brook is a global organization that takes care of animals working equids all over the world and in kind of impoverished nations, you know. And Charlotte Desjardins and Vallejo Blueberry, as I like to call him, you know, the world record holder, a most amazing dressage horse of all time. She sold a bunch of her Olympic memorabilia, I guess. And it was 13 lots of items that she sold, and all the proceeds went to the Brook. And it was really cool. She sold the helmet that she wore for the Olympics. It went for 510 pounds. I'm assuming you just kind of double it if you're like thinking of dollars. 510 pounds. Her boots she sold, her rugs. The Vallejo's prize rugs, and she sold the winning ribbon, the sash and rosette from the 2015 European Championship. She sold, and then I saw something that she said she sold, and I thought it was, I was like, what is that? Vallejo's numnas also fetched excellent prices.
His what?
His blue Lemieux training numna was signed by Charlotte and Carl, selling for six, and I'm like, what is a numna? Like, he's a gelding, right? I mean, I don't know what numbness would be.
It's a, is what they call their blankets.
No, I looked it up and it's their saddle pads.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was kind of thinking the other thing too.
I'm like, his numbness? Like,
do they keep those?
So I was looking at your list here in the bottom, and the UK has a bunch of different words for things that we would use. And I was just reading through them. The numna is the saddle pad. And I knew some of these. Horse box or lorry is the trailer or the horse van. A grackle noseband. A grackle noseband is what they call the figure eight noseband that goes around the nose. Rugs or blankets. If you want to braid your horse before a show, you plate your horse, which always seems interesting.
Yeah.
I learned this one at Monty Roberts because he uses this word. The head collar is the halter.
Halter, yeah. I've heard that one before.
If you're going to clean your stall and you put the manure into a tub, what do you call it?
A wheelbarrow in our case, or a manure tub.
It's a skip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we did this one the other day, but this is a different word. The cubed hay or the complete feed that you would feed, like, you know, the equine strategy or the whatever. What do they call that?
I have no idea.
Oh, this makes me so happy. Horse nuts.
I get that name.
Give him a third of a scoop of horse nuts. And what did they call the hay? We were just talking about the hay.
Oh, the flakes were called, I can't remember. Oh, biscuits.
Biscuits.
Yeah, that's right.
Give him half a scoop of horse nuts and two biscuits, please. Like, oh my God, I feel like I'm sitting down to tea with like my horse. How fun. So that's all your British thing. Anyway, good for Charlotte for donating a bunch of probably very important to her memorabilia, all for the good of the Brook.
Sounds good. And we're going to talk more about the Brook. We're going to be doing a fundraiser for them in March. So we're going to have, that should be a lot of fun. I have a meeting about it today, actually. So
good.
It's good you brought it up. Good organization. And Charlotte might be on the show. So there you go.
Oh my God.
Jamie's in.
I'm in.
All right. Let's talk to, we've had him on the show before, and I've read every one of his books. His name is John Katz. He's a best-selling author. He also writes a blog and is a very popular blog, bedlampharma.com. And John's also good friends with everybody over in New York. We've had him on before talking about the New York carriage situation. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Glenn. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to chat with you. I wish it was under... Every time I chat with you, there's like crisis happening with the carriages in New York. We need to talk sometime on a fun day where we can just chat, okay?
Because Glenn is a... Yeah, he is a super fan.
This is going to be a long and ugly one.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, so now let's fill everybody in. 2 days ago on the show, I reported what I was seeing in the mainstream media out of New York was that all of a sudden, out of the blue, there are negotiations with city council and the mayor, and we're going to get rid of 150 of the horses and take 70 of them and throw them over in a new building at Central Park. And that everybody's happy about that, and it's almost a done deal, and we're all good to go. Now, what's the truth?
Well, that was really not the truth. I think the mayor's sort of initial spin on the whole thing was that all this happy arrangement had been made. The unfortunate truth of it is that there is really no commitment to build the stables. There's no funding for it. There's no approval by the New York Central Park Conservancy. And it has not even been authored. It would take years to build it, even if it did go through. The second problem is that without a commitment of the stables, what the mayor, now that we have the bill to look at, the mayor is really saying, well, down the road, we'll try to build the stables if we can. And in the meantime, we're going to take only 77 people can come to the stable. And nobody will, and there will be no, right now, way before there's a stable, they'll be no longer allowed to have replacement horses or spare horses or second or more than one horse.
What?
So in effect, that's what the law says. And the idea would be that these restrictions would go into effect immediately. And then they would figure out if they can build a stable, which as you get into it, you know, New York City just went this thing. They built a stable for handicapped people in Queens, and it took them 9 years and $12 million to build a stable for eight horses.
Eight horses? So
eight horses. Ugh. And it's hard to even imagine how a stable of this size in Central Park, which has not been approved or discussed or authorized in any way, could happen. The other most serious problem is that these new restrictions, I mean, this is really a way of banning the horses without admitting it.
It's a two-step process. He thought he can't get it done in one swift stroke of the pen, so I'll do it in a couple steps and nobody will notice.
Right. It's what Thomas Jefferson called death by a thousand cuts.
Right.
But what it would do immediately, right now, as soon as the bill would pass, is it would basically, you know, get rid of more than half of the drivers and owners. I mean, a couple hundred people would lose their job, and there's more than 220 horses in New York, and they only could have 77. So the rest of them would be, you know, would supposedly go to these mythical rescue farms that nobody knows about and can identify. And you know the situation with horses now. There are 160,000 horses were killed last year alone in America in slaughter. And the estimation of these horses eat four giant bales of hay a day, each one of them. Very few places have that kind of money, and there's no commitment to that. The other thing is that the city is saying to the people, okay, you have to get rid of these horses, but you can't send them to slaughter. We're going to tell you exactly what you must do with them. So that raises all these private property questions.
Except that the city does not own the horses.
The city does not own the horses at all.
So
that certainly would be a battle. But what seems to be happening, honestly, and I'm speaking as objectively about it as I can, because I'm trained as a journalist and I try to see both sides of things. The mayor just seems absolutely obsessed with the idea that these horses have to go. And there are many, many issues around that campaign of his. One of them is that his campaign was aided by more than $1 million in contributions from animal rights groups to help get him get elected. Between the money they gave him and the money they donated to knocking out his opponent. And of course, if this bill were passed, it would immediately force two of the three stables to be sold right away to developers who are dying to get their hands on the property.
Which is what this has been about since day one, is that property.
Well, people say that. You know, I have a slightly different view of that. I'm sure that's an issue, and I think the real threat to the industry has always been real estate, as much more than the mayor. But the mayor is truly an animal rights ideologue. I mean, he really is. I think he genuinely believes it. I think he believes that the work of the horses is evil, and he's obsessed. I talked to two of the negotiators, and we were all a little bit slow to get onto this because when it was first leaked, it was apparently leaked by the animal rights groups who were presenting it as a sort of happy done deal, which is what I thought it was, until I talked to the carriage trade people who were going berserk and are very much in a panic because they're afraid the council will pass this without understanding what it is. So there's a lot of scrambling going around today. But the mayor seems obsessed. He won't negotiate directly with anyone in the carriage trade.
He's never met with them at all, right?
He's never met with them. He's never been to the stables. He's never even owned a dog or a cat. so there just are real questions about where this is coming from. And most New Yorkers believe it's tied to real estate. I have not seen any evidence of that. But it's not an unreasonable conclusion.
Well, do you think
I think the mayor is beholden to these groups. They really elected him. And so this is the first time in America that a big city mayor is actually a member of the animal rights movement. That's never happened before.
Well, he's not been I'll add this. You don't have to, okay? This is Glenn speaking. I live in Florida. But from what I can see from the outside looking in, he is taking grief from everywhere because he's just not been very good at it. So he's taking a lot of crap. He promised this. He's got the governor making fun of him. It's just a mess. So he's got to redeem himself somewhere. So it's like, I'm going to get it done.
But the irony here is that he's not going to redeem himself with this. I mean, 66% of New Yorkers say they want the horses to stay. It's a very unpopular move he's doing. This is a city. You know, New York City, as you know, is not a place where everybody gets along. This is the most divided the city has been on any issue since 9/11. I mean, there's no age, ethnic, or racial group in the city that supports the removal of the horses. And all three newspapers have opposed it. The Chamber of Commerce has opposed it. The Teamsters, the Working People's Party, oppose it. So the Chamber of Commerce has opposed it. So nobody is in favor of it. So the strange thing about it is it's an intensely unpopular move. This is a booming industry. Tourists love it. People love it. Very well regulated and very safe. So that's the part that just puzzles everybody. And in these negotiations, people say he's just obsessed with it, that he won't let go of it, and he won't yield or even negotiate. The irony here is that the carriage trade would be very pleased if they could build the stables in Central Park. That would give them sort of a permanent safety and would give them a good base to operate of, and it would be more convenient and easier for them. But it's just a complete fantasy. I mean, there's absolutely no concrete evidence or promise to really even build the stables at all. So this morning, I got hold of this letter that the New York State Veterinary Medical Society sent to the mayor a year and a half ago, and it just really warned that most residents of New York City are unaware that New York State faces a major problem with unwanted and abandoned horses for many, many reasons. And the letter from the vets all says, you know, that public debate fails to take into account what is likely to happen to the city's current carriage horses if their jobs are taken away from them. The naive assumption that somewhere there is a pasture to which they can retire masks the reality that sooner rather than later, many of them will be put down. So you're essentially, you know, putting 150 horses, well-trained, safe, and healthy horses, at great risk in order to save them. So it just seems lunacy to me.
So why does he continue with this? Why wouldn't he visit the stables? Why, what, like, I just don't get it. So I want to punch him in the face. Like, get, that's wake what, up.
It seems like the whole city wants to punch him. But I personally, this is some of a minority opinion on my part. But I've been down there. I've talked to a lot of people. And, you know, New Yorkers can get very conspiracy-minded. I think he believes this line. I think he is a member of the animal rights movement. I think he believes this idea that work is abusive and that animals should be... You know, one thing people don't understand about the animal rights movement, and I've been going back and reading the early literature that spawned the group, this is not an animal welfare movement. This is an animal liberation movement, and they're quite open about that. They seek to remove animals from people. They don't think animals should work with people, be owned by people, amuse or entertain people. So everywhere they go, they remove animals from people, and animals, in fact, are disappearing from the lives of people. So he fits them to a T. You know, he doesn't make any sense unless you look at it in that light, that this is an animal rights ideologue who has gotten hold of a big city. It's never happened before in a big city. You know, Bloomberg and all the other mayors and Giuliani all staved off these attacks. They thought they were crazy. And they defended the carriage trade, which is prosperous and has the best safety record. You know, in 30 years, 3 horses have been killed in traffic accidents in New York. In that same time, over 120,000 New Yorkers have been killed. So which is the safer thing, and who are you banning? So it just doesn't make any sense unless you look at it.
They really should ban taxis in New York. They're the most dangerous things.
Well,
taxis, pedicabs, buses.
Yeah.
That's my next question is, are there any other, if he's part of the animal rights where, you know, they think that dogs shouldn't even be owned by people, and that's the part of the whole PETA putting animals to sleep because they're better off dead than owned by people. Is he trying on any other avenue of animal ownership or use? Is he just focused on this one first?
Well, that's a good question. He's just focused on this one. And he said that when he got elected, this was his first major priority in office, was to ban the horses. More than any other problem in New York, this was the first thing he was going to do. So that was 2 years ago, and that has not worked. And his ban completely collapsed. So this turns out to be just another way to ban the horses without saying so. And I think the difficulty here is if the city council buys it, it's a way for them to get out of the issue without having to take a responsibility for it. Now, there's tremendous opposition to the mayor and the city council now. So I think they have a good shot of getting it stalled. They also have hired 2 civil rights lawyers, Norman Siegel being one of them, and they've retained them. So I think they're preparing to go to court if they have to.
Which they don't have the money to do, which is just a terrible thing to throw these drivers in court and when they're barely scraping by. I mean, is there a GoFundMe for these guys and for the?
Well, I think there will be. I mean, they do have some money. They have been making money, and I think they can certainly retain these people. And I think if they need money, all kinds of people would rush to help them. We certainly would right. throw up some stuff online. But and I think it's going to end up there. I think the only way to stop this guy, who just seems honestly irrational. I mean, the best word I can use is that it's irrational. You know, most politicians are willing to negotiate, compromise, you know, figure things out, and he's not. So I think they're going to have to go to the courts. I mean, I'm more and more seeing this as a civil rights.
I'm actually kind of surprised that it never got there yet.
I think legally it's they can't really go to court until they do something.
Until something happens,
Until something happens, I mean, they have to be banned or be stopped. If they go ahead and pass this bill, it would essentially put most of it would decimate the carriage trade overnight.
You know, and they can't take them. And the court wouldn't, I doubt, well, who knows with the courts these days, but the court, you know, I would think would be on the side of these people own the horses. You can't tell them what to do with the horses after they leave the city.
The best precedent would be, you know, when Bloomberg tried to ban the large soda bottles.
Yes.
And the courts said to them, you know,
we made fun of that on the show too.
Well, the courts in New York said you can't do that. You know, this is private business and it's not the business of the city to tell people what to drink. So I think there's somewhat of a precedent there. I think the drivers and the owners would have a very strong case saying this is our property, our livelihood. We've broken no laws. We violated no regulations. You know, we're a profitable business. We've been here for 150 years. And there's no due process here. You know, he talks to the animal rights people every day. He won't even speak to them. So I don't know. To me, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I would be in court already, probably.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, you don't have to worry about these horses finding a home. If something did happen, we will mobilize and they will all find homes, good homes.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
And I've told them that before, that if it ever comes to that, we'll put the word out. You know, we work with every one of the media in the horse world, and a situation like this, these are the most well-broke, these are the horses you actually want if something would happen. So,
it is. Well, I'm writing about it today, and I'm making the argument they are in danger. I mean, the city needs to understand that they are.
If especially if the city says they can only be put out to pasture, you know, they have to go to a retirement farm, and that's, you know, that's
and
not
another fun. Thing. That domino effect. These horses are useful and have jobs. We are essentially removing jobs from the workforce for a horse. So those 150 horses who have jobs mean that there are 150 other horses who won't have a job.
Right. Yep. Well, you know, and if you read, I was reading Buck Brannaman's book, who he writes about the carriage
right.
a bit,
yeah.
and he said, you know, these are the lucky horses. These are the horses that have work and care and people worrying
and time
about
off.
The ones he worries, the ones he worries about are the horses that have nothing to do, but sit, stand around and drop manure. Yeah. And I think that's a really important point. That this is, you know, you want them to be. In our world, but the larger backdrop against this, which I've been writing about a lot lately, is a growing realization that this movement, the animal rights movement, is really not about saving animals. It's about removing them from people. That's their goal. And they're being very successful at it. And I think the horse community in particular, because I got a horse now, by the way. I have a horse now.
I was going to ask you that. Yay, what'd you get?
Finally, my wife has a horse.
Welcome to my world.
I'm in your world, and you didn't tell me. You didn't warn me what it was really going to be like. It's a whole other world. It's a whole other planet. So we love her. She's a great, great creature. Quite willful, I have to say. It's not like having a dog. I can see that. It's not like having a dog.
A pony mare. Yeah, you would. You jumped right in, didn't you?
I won't get on her. But my wife, when my wife gets on her to ride her, she just walks backwards into the barn.
That girl.
We need to have your wife on the show.
But one thing. This has also brought me, the carriage horse thing has brought me into connection with the horse community, which is a wonderful, amazing community. And they're very opinionated and vocal and tough.
We don't know anything about that, John. We don't know anything about that.
But I think they're all over the mayor. I mean, since I've been writing about it, they're pounding the city council and the mayor and those people all the time about this.
Oh, yeah.
And they're feeling it.
There's one thing we're good at, and that's speaking up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's made a big difference. They're definitely, because, you know, de Blasio has national political ambitions, and he fashions himself as a great progressive. And there's nothing progressive about what he's doing here at all. So I think he does care what the community out there thinks of him. So the letters and emails to the city council really matter, because he's really paying attention to that. I actually talked to someone yesterday in New York who said the mayor's office is reading my blog, which stunned me. Because they're really sensitive about what this larger community is thinking of them. So I'm really putting this, you know, putting the heat up, and maybe we can stop this.
Well, I think I'm sorry, John. I think if this comes to fruition, it's endangering the relationship that everybody has with their horses. You know, here's a
Absolutely.
Precedent that's being set of, oh, these horses need to be turned out, not used. And then they're going to come after different equestrian sports. Like, oh, this sport's too hard. That sport's too much, you know, and it's
Absolutely.
Setting such a dangerous precedent. Just the domino effect of how people are going to be able to use their animals and horses. And oh no, we can't have seeing eye dogs because they have jobs. Like, it's crazy. So
they're not only that. I mean, they don't believe a border collie should be herding sheep.
That's
abuse.
Yeah, it's.
Have they ever seen one of your border collies herding sheep? That they love herding sheep. They love.
I know. Yeah. But the movement and they're very open about it. You know, I have to say they don't lie about it. They don't believe dogs should be owned by people, and they don't believe they should work for people. They don't believe they should be used to entertain people. I've actually been writing a bit about the elephant issue, which is another animal issue that's troubling to me, because these elephants are being shunned out of the circuses in droves. Nobody knows where they're going. And, you know, we all know where they're probably going to go. Who wants an Asian elephant? It costs $65,000 a year to feed. So it's one thing to talk about how they're being treated and trained. That's appropriate. it's another to do so with no thought at all given to what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. I was wondering and where they were going to go.
Well, John,
Wrigley Brothers is taking 11 of them, and that leaves about, you know, a lot of elephants with no place to go.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us on short notice again. I really do appreciate it. And what? And sometime soon, let's make a commitment to get together and do an interview where it's not about this and we just chat. Because I am, as Jamie
He's
said, I'm your biggest
now.
Fan. So
he's a horse husband now. You can put him on the horse husband.
I do.
I got a lot of horse stories. I could use some sympathy and support.
We do a horse husbands episode once a month. We'll get you on that. And if no women allowed, we can all just commiserate.
We can just talk about it. I got to tell you, so my wife has trained the horse to give me a kiss when I come out every morning. I get a kiss from the pony.
Oh, there you
Smart
go.
Woman.
Smart woman.
I'm kind of liking that.
John Katz, the website is bedlamfarm.com. I'll be in touch here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll do a non carriage horse interview.
Okay, I love it.
All right, thanks, John.
Thanks.
What a good guy, huh?
I know you love him.
Well,
he's
so intelligent. You know, I always feel not intelligent when I'm talking to John because he's so smart.
I don't want to interrupt him. I just love listening to him. Yeah, he's very, very cool guy.
Love his books, too, because they're all about border collies. His books are all about border collies and his life with border collies and his first farm he got and what a nightmare it was. So
I've had two of the best border collies on the planet.
No, his border collies were good. The farm, not so good.
Oh. Oh my God.
All right, let's go to our next guest right after this word. Sorry, Brooke, we'll be with you in just one second. We had a surprise guest there. So we're going to talk about Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to come back and talk about a little archery and other things.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, now we have with us Brooke Beers, who is someone that Jennifer met as she took Beaker out to play with the cows one day. And I believe that's where you met, right, Jennifer? There you are. Okay. Was out playing with the cows, right?
Out playing with the cows.
All right, good. Well, good morning, Brooke. Thank you so much for waiting. We had a surprise guest there that we weren't aware of, so we appreciate you waiting.
Good morning. No problem at all. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, we're going to get on to a little happier topic for a Friday here, and that is...
Okay.
I want to talk to you, When I posted this morning that we're going to talk a little bit about mounted archery and a couple of other things, we had several of our listeners say, mounted archery, yay! So
awesome.
This is really a growing thing, isn't it, mounted archery?
It really is, yes.
So how did you get into it?
Well, I am brand new to Florida, so I just recently moved to Florida 2 months ago, so I'm originally from
Welcome.
Delaware. And I thank you very much. I'm loving it so far, and I do not miss the snow. So I had a friend that lives in Pennsylvania who, was just getting into the mounted archery scene. And like you said, it really is a growing sport. And she ended up putting a club together, the Chaley Mounted Warriors Archery Group up in Pennsylvania. She started that club and it just kind of blew up from there. She really made a lot of connections with a lot of the mounted archeries, a lot of the mounted archers, you know, in that area and across the U.S. So she ended up connecting with a gentleman named Trey. He is one of the top U.S. mounted archers here.
Yes, he is.
He lives out in Texas. So yes, if you're familiar, you know, with that sport, then you might, you know, recognize Trey, from Texas. So, she really connected with him. He flew out to Pennsylvania and earlier this year and did a clinic earlier last year, I should say, in 2015. And he did a clinic and I joined that clinic because I was interested in archery itself. I have a recurve bow. And so, I wanted to combine that, you know, with my horse. And honestly, you know, I tried it one day. I sat on my horse and I did some practice and she responded really well to it. And I ended up connecting with my friend Diana, who, you know, was putting this clinic together with Trey. And I went up there and I joined the clinic and, you know, they had so much participation in this club that, you know, they had to do two separate groups. And it was awesome. It, you know, everybody was so involved and Trey came in and he did, you know, a whole backstory about the history of mounted archery and, you know, that it's a form of martial arts. And he just kind of went into kind of how it all began and how, you know, in other countries, how it started. And he does a lot of competing, you know, around the world in Australia and Hungary and a lot of other countries.
It's really, really big in the Asian countries.
It is. And he, you know, he talked a lot about the traveling. And so when I moved to Florida, I actually connected with a mounted archer here. So in Florida, we have Lucas, who is another top U.S. mounted archer, who did a clinic right here in Ocala, Florida. So for me, it was great because, you know, I got to meet Trey and I got to meet the group up there that really started expanding that sport there. And in Ocala, Florida, we also have a group here that is looking to be formed and to really get the sport going here. So it's really a niche thing, but everybody that, you know, learns about it. And when I talk to different people about it, they're so interested in it. And it's such a neat thing, you know, to do and put together. And everybody that's involved has been wonderful.
I got to tell you too, you've got to have a well-trained horse because you're not, your hands are on the bow and the arrow. I mean,
it is not easy. I will tell you that it is, you know, they say that people with ADD are awesome at this sport because you are doing 10 million things at once. And, you know, I'm still learning with my horse, you know, she's never done this before. So it is, you know, it's a lot. It is a lot just to learn, you know, the archery part of it, and then to incorporate that with the horseback riding. And, you know, essentially you do have to drop your reins and trust that your horse, you know, will stay in the direction that you're going so that you can focus on, you know, drawing the arrow and shooting the target. So it is a lot at once, but it's so much fun. It really is a fun sport to do. And I encourage, you know, anybody that has some interest in it to, you know, maybe try and find a contact. You know, when I met Diana, I met her through Facebook and I just reached out and we connected. And from there, it grew into, you know, me joining this clinic. So
had you ever shot before, like on the ground?
I had just recently, within the past couple years, I had gotten into archery, just on the ground archery. And I really liked the recurve though. And then I just, you know, and I've been horseback riding. I've had my horse for over 6 years now. And I just thought, you know what, let me just try this. And then after I started, you know, doing some searching and learning more about it is how I met, you know, my friend in Pennsylvania, and it just kind of expanded from there. And then now that I'm here in Florida, I'm meeting so many people that are like, you know, I'd love to try that. So, you know,
Jamie, you're not allowed to try it. Jamie, you're not allowed to try it because you're that girl. You'd shoot your horse, your foot. Something would die.
I am in. I can see my Mustang thundering down the track. I'm like Merida and Brave hitting all the targets. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, you know, and for anybody that is also into the sport of hunting, I will say that here in Florida, and I have not done this yet, I have not gotten to this point yet, but there are places here in Florida where you can hunt from your horse. So you can actually, you know, for somebody that really is interested in doing them all, you do have the opportunity here, and I'm sure maybe in other states, but I do know here in Florida, there are places that allow you could hunt.
And we have some wild pigs that need to go. We have some wild pigs that need to go.
Yes.
I don't foresee myself Hunting
wild pigs in the forests of Ocala. Anything.
I'm a vegetarian.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Wild pigs need to go. They need to go. They're open season here in Florida all the time. So now
Jamie's gonna hunt cabbage.
So are, do you?
I think that's good.
You can hunt cabbage. Yeah, there you go. They do that actually. They'll put them on a post for you.
I'd love to connect with anybody that is interested in this sport, because it really is growing. It really is a growing sport. There are only a handful of actual established clubs in the U.S. So I love to see that grow.
Cool.
And to see it. Yeah. Very good. From there. So.
Well, I don't want to run out of time before we mention this product. We love people who are inventing new products. We love products here at Horse Radio Network. So tell us about the horse holster, which has nothing to do with a gun.
It has nothing to do with a gun. No, it is strictly for your cell phone and other necessary items that you need while you're out on your horse. And this product today, actually, so ironically, I get to talk to you guys today. Today is my 1 month that I officially launched the product and put it out there. And it has been doing extremely well. So a couple years ago, I thought of this idea, and it is essentially a leg holster that you wear, you know, around your thigh, and it holds your cell phone. So for me, and in all of my experiences with riding, and I do a lot of different things, you know, mostly trail riding. I've done small intermediate barrel racing shows. I've done the cattle sorting. I've jumped. So I've done a bunch of different things, but, you know, we all like to have our cell phones with us. My biggest thing is I like it for a safety concern so that, you know, I can reach out in the event of an emergency. So I have been riding, like I said, for about 6 years, and I had a holster on my leg. It was more of a generic style phone holster, but it did not fit the big phone. So, you know, our phones are continuously getting larger, and this particular holder that I was using did not fit my phone correctly. And I found that anytime I trail rode anywhere, you know, where I needed to trailer and then carry my truck key, I didn't have anywhere else to put it, but, you know, shove it in my pocket. So for me, it was the necessity of being able to carry my keys. You know, what if I wanted to have my ID on me, if I needed to carry money, if I also wanted to have my phone. So all of these things that you might want to carry on you, but to physically have them attached to your body so that, you know, if an unfortunate thing happened and you got separated from your horse. I have had a lot of people respond and reach out to me and say, you know, they can't tell me how much they love this idea because they were in a situation where their horse spooked and took off on them. And their phone was in, you know, a bag that was attached to
their horse. We always say that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea.
Right. They didn't have, you know, and I actually had somebody reach out and say, I fell off my horse. They took off. I did not have my phone. I broke my wrist. And luckily, you know, they made it back to the barn and they were able to call for help. But so for me, I, you know, last year, I really started thinking about this, you know, how can I make one that would fit, you know, today's larger phones and would also provide the opportunity to carry all of those other items, you know, so that you can be safe and have all of these things with you while you're on your horse. And, you know, the very first one I actually made myself. I bought a sewing machine. It was a Black Friday special, and I never sewed anything, you know, on a sewing machine. And I said, you know, I need to see how I want to do this. And I made my very first one, and I wore it. I wore it horseback riding. You know, I was trail riding with a large group, and I had a lot of people say, where did you get that? And I said, well, I made it. And, you know, I thought a lot of people are really interested in the idea of having your phone right there with you and, you know, accessibility. And, you know, for me, when I ride a lot of really, you know, scenic, really different, cool places, I, you know, I like to have my phone to take pictures. And there were just so many benefits to being able to have my phone right there with me that I ran with it. And, you know, I came up with the name, the horse holster, which, you know, is, you know, pretty self-explanatory. My logo, if you look at the logo, you know, it's pretty obvious to kind of tell, you know, what the product is.
And now where can let's get to the important part. Where can people get it?
Thehorseholster.com.
Thehorseholster.com. Very good. And you have different colors, different colors in there and everything. Check it out. It's pretty cool.
I do. And it's water resistant neoprene. So it's flexible. You know, it also provides that extra protection for your phone. I've got three colors right now. And so right now we're also working on a different design so that it will fit, you know, the really big case is I myself have an iPhone 6 Plus, plus with the OtterBox Defender case, which is huge. So I've got that product in production right now. So we really want to make sure that we can accommodate, you know, any size phone, any size case, and really make sure that everybody can ride connected and have this product with them. So horseholster.com, you can follow us on Facebook. We're also going into, we're starting going into stores. So we're super excited, and we hope that, you know, everybody can be interested and try the product out, give us feedback. We're open to feedback anyways, you know, we can continuously improve it. So
sounds good.
Glenn, yeah. I just wanted to let you know that there is a mounted archery organization in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, really?
It's only like an hour away. Now, I'm on their Facebook page and I'm looking at pictures and I'm getting inspired, and I realized that I've got to get a lot better at unmounted archery. Like, I need to improve.
It helps.
I mean, I feel like Katniss Everdeen, but I don't look like Katniss Everdeen.
I don't shoot like those darn arrows just go where they want, don't they?
You know, and when I'm out there, and I bought the whole setup. I got it for Christmas last year.
Oh, that's right. You did.
I have the bow and arrow and everything. I have the little.
I forgot about that. We should have shot when we were out. That would have been fun.
The problem is the 2-year-old finds it entertaining to grab arrows. It becomes a total nightmare when he's out there. So that has slowed down my progress considerably. I think if I could lock him in the backyard and I go out the front yard and shoot, I think it'd be fine. But looking at these pictures, I think my Mustang Thor would be amazing at it. Again, his mother would suck. Like, it's embarrassing. Do people go and do mounted archery that can't hit targets?
Oh, did we lose?
Yes. Honestly, it is for all different levels. You are fairly close enough to the target that, you know, you could hit.
How many feet away am I so I can start
practice?
Somewhere
on the target.
Guess that depends how good your horse is.
and there's a lot of different types of horses too, but I would say probably no more than 10 yards, 7 yards, 7 to 10 yards.
There's a lot of room for
error. That's still 30 feet. Are you kidding?
You're probably closer. You're probably even more like 5 yards. Honestly,
can I?
When you're running.
Can we request the side of a barn for Jamie? She might be able to hit that.
If I'm galloping, can I just gallop up to the target and shove it in like a sword? And that might be the way I can get it done.
Brooke, we have to go. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
it.
Thehorseholster.com.
So
take care.
I do want to do this.
Have a good weekend.
So bad.
Bye.
Thanks. I do want to do it so bad.
I forgot you got the bow and arrow. That'd have been fun. I loved shooting. That'd have been great.
It's pretty terrible. I'm pretty terrible. I didn't bring it out, so I wouldn't embarrass myself.
Are you like me, where I'm always hitting my arm with the
yes,
string?
Yes, so I was noticing that people have gloves. My fingertips start hurting. Remember, my husband bought me like that massive compound.
Oh, that's right. He bought you the $5,000 bow setup, and you were like, "How about the kids one?"
I went back and got the kids one. I took that back. He's like, "Well, that was cheaper than I expected," and I'm like, "Yes." So just quit overdoing. I just wanted to be like a little girl and shoot some bows and arrows.
You wanted to be like Narada in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, remember the whole story now. Yeah.
Yes,
so
now I remember.
Compound bow back, and now I am a member of the just keep it simple stupid
archery club. It really does scare me having you with a bow and arrow on a horse. That does. There's something frightening about that.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yes.
It's just a matter of when.
It's probably going to be you. All right, let's hear a song, and then we're going to come back. It's Really Bad Ads Day. So we're going to do that in just a minute. But first, we have to hear from the good friends and somebody I thank every night, Bed in a Box.
Welcome to bedinabox.com, where you'll find the most comfortable, pressure-relieving memory foam mattress at only one-third the cost of the leading brands. We have created an exclusive memory foam that sleeps cooler, rebounds quicker, and cradles your body in pain-relieving comfort better than other types of memory foams. Introducing our new memory foam technology. By swirl-infusing gel into our advanced memory foam, we have created an even cooler, more comfortable sleeping surface. Best of all, it's made right here in the USA.
He had been dealing with back pain and chiropractor visits for a while, so we decided it was probably time to find a new mattress.
So we started doing some research on memory foam mattresses and found bendabox.com. We were on a trip with some friends, and they actually had a bend-a-box mattress in their camper. And on their recommendation, we decided to get one for ourselves.
They got it to us in no time. We had no problem adjusting, and we were thrilled with the comfort. In fact, my husband doesn't have to get up early anymore due to back pain. He can lie in bed for as long as he likes without any discomfort. We recommend Bed in a Box to anyone who has back problems or just needs a good night's rest.
We believe we have created the world's best memory foam mattress. Using independent, accredited labs, we have tested our mattresses against the industry leaders to ensure comfort and durability. Test results show our mattresses relieve pressure better than the more expensive ones found in retail stores. Buying a mattress over the internet may seem risky. That's why we offer a 120-day zero-risk return policy. You get a full 100% refund if you're not satisfied. No hidden fees and no return shipping charges, and we back them with a 20-year warranty. Sound too good to be true? Don't take our word for it. Read what real customers are writing about us on Facebook, Twitter, Viewpoints.com, and other third-party review sites. We are dedicated to quality and service. We offer fast, free shipping to the contiguous U.S. Your mattress will arrive conveniently packaged and will be ready to sleep on within minutes. With the benefits of the leading brand mattresses, but at one-third the cost, why wait? Start getting the best sleep of your life. Call, chat, or email one of our friendly customer care agents to learn why 99% of our customers sleep better and toss and turn less on their new Bed in a Box mattress.
Disappeared. I got a mason jar full of something clear. So take a swig and chase it back with a beer.
We got the moonlight, sipping on a good time. We're going all night, that's what I'm talking about.
We got that sweet buzz, radio is cranked up. This thing is all ours, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody's got their party on. Everybody's getting to the getting's gone. We got the moonlight.
say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we do really bad ads. We take ads from Craigslist, usually, that have been submitted by our listeners, and we make a little fun of them and have a good time on a Friday, our last half hour of the week. And we usually give away a prize, and this week we have a prize for you. It is the book, just came out, just released. It is The Compassionate Equestrian, 25 Principles to Live By When Caring For and Working with Horses. And if they sold books by the pound, this one would be $300. Because it's a heavy book. And I think you're going to get a lot out of it. It was put out by Alan Schoen and Susan Gordon. So that is the prize for today.
It's really, really, is it like a million pages or is it big?
It's a million. Well, let me see here.
It's like a coffee table book?
It's 425 pages. So if you weren't compassionate with your horses before you start this book, you're going to be when you end it.
If you want a really good guilt trip, you'll read the whole thing.
That's right. That's right. So take a if you're interested in it too, we'll post a link to it in our show notes. But yeah, that's the giveaway for today. Did we forget anything? We're good to go?
No, you're first.
Okay, I'm first up. Rossi sent this one in. Free pony to good home. And this is in... Is MO Missouri or Montana? We have this. I ask this every time.
Missouri.
Missouri. Okay, thank you. I am selling my stallion pony only because I am moving to where there is not enough land for me to keep him. He is green broke. This is the first horse I have ever owned or rode, and I could ride him just fine. My 3-year-old daughter also rides him. He is great with kids. Would be perfect pony for a little girl if someone had the time to get him fully broke. He is about 6 years old, very gentle, and he's not even cut. He's a great horse.
Why?
I just knew you were going to have so much fun with this one.
Are you having your 3-year-old duder, by the way, ride a stallion? I think you're going to go to hell.
Everybody listening to that knew that Jamie was not going to be able to hold back.
Good Lord.
And she said it with pride, and he's not even cut. Like, that's a pride thing.
Oh, my God. He's, like, totally perfect with kids. Yes. No, he's not, because he has testosterone. Good Lord. You did that to make me mad.
I did, and we put it first.
Now, this next one was sent in by Kathleen O'Grady, and Kathleen, this is so funny. It's a photo. Let me paint the picture. It is a black horse in the picture, and it looks like a big old quarter horse stallion, the kind that screams navicular disease with like this huge, giant, fat body and these teeny tiny little feet. Doesn't it scream navicular disease, Jennifer? I would ask Glenn, but you
can't. It makes my feet hurt looking at that picture.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So here's the ad. Because of his cream gene, he does fade in the summer sun. He has fire highlights. Isn't that called sun bleaching?
Yes. I think most horses do it, too.
Yeah. He's black.
Especially black ones.
He bleaches out in the summer. Okay. But they've figured out...
Jamie's black horses in Arizona turned, like, pink. I mean...
Yeah. The cream buckskin gene of Edward. Is that why he... my thoroughbred has buckskin cream genes, too? Okay. Because of his cream gene, he does fade in summer sun with fiery highlights. He has a saucy personality. In the right hands, he will be an amazing horse. I don't ride. He is bored. Experienced, serious inquiries only. Don't ask me a million questions over the phone. Just come and visit. If you two are not a good match, just bring him back. No questions asked. Last picture listed. Okay, there's that picture and there's like 20 pictures underneath. And it's like all the ones like you would click on, like all the different ones. There's 20 pictures underneath this main picture. And it goes on to say, the last picture listed is the actual horse. And a couple are what he kind of looks like, but only he's smaller. The last picture and only the last picture is actually him.
Why would you post all the other pictures?
What? They're not him. They've got a little arrow drawn. Not him, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him. Yes, him. The one picture. So I'm not even, it's the picture I showed you, I told you, the black stallion with the little teacup feet. That's not even him.
Nope. Oh, not him. I thought was really funny is I Googled it, and this ad has several iterations, and they all have the same thing in common. These pictures are not this horse, but they're different pictures. It's really funny.
But you're not allowed to call and ask questions.
That's because no they questions. Want $2,000 for, did you see the horses? That horse looks evil. I'm sorry.
The looks actual evil. Horse, I can't even, can I even click on that horse?
Linda,
that is so bizarre.
Linda sent in the following one. A red horse. That's
his
the title.
Cream jean. I'm sorry. I'm going to use that. Cream I'm like, jean. Oh, he's got a cream jean. So that's why he's like coppery and root beer colored.
Linda sent in the following one. Red horse, $600 in Roosevelt, Utah. I have a small red horse for sale. She is about 3 or 4 years old and is about 12 or 13 hands high. She would be great with kids. She would be a great kid's horse and is broke to ride. She is good with her front feet, but I have never tried to pick her back feet up. Need to sell as soon as possible because every time you get near a rear end, she kicks you. That's exactly what that says.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Well, first of all, do they ever trim the feet? I mean, like...
Apparently not.
Oh, my gosh. And no three-year-old is a good kid's horse. I just...
Oh, God.
People are very liberal with their kid's horse. They're tossing about the whole kid's horse sentence.
Trust me, people. When I've owned a lot of ponies, and when this ad says I've never picked up the back feet, that is because you will get your teeth kicked in.
Yes. Well said.
That's why.
All right. Julia sent in the next one. I think Julia might be a new submitter. Julia Cheney, thank you very much. 2 to 2.5 year old paint mare for $200 in Dover, Arkansas. I have a 2 to 2.5 year old paint mare, and she's a quarter horse. She has blue spot in one of her eyes. She is not broke, but the other day she did get close enough to me that she let me touch her nose. I also stroked her neck once.
What is with the ads today? Sorry.
Like, you can't make this stuff up. She let me touch her nose. I stroked her neck once, so I'm sure she could be broke easily.
Oh, my God.
I am located in Dover, Arkansas. You will need to pick her up.
Yeah, because I can't catch her.
Bring your ropes.
She's been touched once, but she can be broke easily, I'm sure of it. Don't worry. Don't worry about my broken arm. It's okay.
Can I divert for just a moment?
Yes.
Why do people think I went to a client with my clients to go look at a potential broodmare because they're going to take the same adventure I am with the baby mama. And we went and we looked at these broodmares and went to pick one out and we picked it and it's great. So in the pasture behind me, there's a horse galloping around. It's probably like a 2-acre pasture, just galloping around. And I turn and I'm like, what's going on? Oh, she can't catch her horse. I was like, oh, well, maybe I can help, you know, and she was like, no, just leave her alone. I was like, okay, let's watch this train wreck. What does the woman do to catch her horse? Walks into the barn and comes out with a lunge whip.
Chases it around till it's tired, right?
Would your horse come to you if you're carrying a lunge whip? Like, there was absolutely, so what she did, because I'm watching this whole thing happen and just cringing, and I'm like, I've already been told not to help. So she basically chases it around, cracking the whip, making the horse run away from her, and corrals it into the corner where somebody on the outside of the fence was standing with a lead rope that flung it around the horse's neck and like tightened it down until the woman could get up to the horse and bring it in. Do you think that horse is going to come to her tomorrow? I don't think so. Sorry, diversion there. But people...
Well, you saw a really bad ad in the making because that horse is now for sale.
It was like this two-year-old paymare in Dover, Arkansas. My God, you can't catch it. I stroked its nose once, though, so yeah, good luck.
Genevieve has sent the following one in. Vintage... Oh my God. Vintage horse trailer. Picture says most of it. It certainly does. Mostly wood, mostly fall aparting rust. Looking for offer, call Mike. Mike, I have a suggestion with this particular horse trailer. And I'm not even going to try and describe it. You're just going to have to go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and look. I have a suggestion. This would make a great start to a bonfire. It really would.
I mean, if it's made of wood, you're in luck.
Yeah, you could make a lot of s'mores burning this baby up, and that's all it's good for.
Let me just try to describe it.
Okay, go ahead.
It's first of all, the front end, there's no tongue on the front end that you would hook to the trailer.
It's actually
buried into the ground. Like, there's grass over it. There's soil over it. This thing has been there for so long. The tires, they actually have tires on it, but they're sunk down about 6 inches into the ground, too. This thing has been there, I don't know.
Did you notice the roof? There is none.
It's some sort of wood thing, and it's gone, and there's panels missing. There's side parts missing. It's just hilarious. So
it's a mess.
My personal favorite are the fenders, which are off of a 1954 Ford pickup.
Oh, you know, you're right. Those are car fenders.
See, that's upgrades.
No, pickup truck. I think they're from a pickup truck. I'm pretty sure.
Pull those off.
It's probably the only part worth anything. The antique fenders. Oh, God. Jennifer's going to post that. I don't know who sent the next one in.
Vintage is questionable. I mean, people throw vintage, antique, you know.
I don't know if Genevieve sent the next one in or not, but I want to rent your fish pond. I would like to... this is a new one.
This is in Adel, Glenn. This is Adel, Georgia.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Do your Southern accent.
Southern accent. I can't do it. You made fun of me last time I did it.
It's really bad. It's hilarious. Do it. Okay. Do it.
I would like to rent. Now I'm in some other accent. I would like to rent your fish pond. I am seeking access to a stocked fish pond for my family to fish in. I am a very responsible person and would take good care of your property. Let me get this right. He wants to come over to your pond, put fish in it, and then have his whole family come over and fish in it.
No, he doesn't want to put fish in it. He just wants to bring his family over and fish. We had a pond in my house growing up, and random people would knock on the door and ask if they could fish. And my dad would be like...
Is that a Georgia thing?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it is. Yeah, and so they would knock on the door and come fish, and my dad would go, you can keep the brim, you got to put the bass back, and throw the crappie in the woods. Like, apparently that's a type of fish.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Yeah, nobody likes the crappies. That's the name.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what he used to tell people. And the problem that you have, that's why probably this person said he's responsible. I'm really breaking this down for you, is that most people, they like drink beer and they throw the cans into the water. And so we would have to dredge all the trash out of our pond. And finally, they had to quit letting people do it. Anyway. Side note.
That's way more than I ever wanted to know, actually.
Well, you're welcome, Jason. Adel, us Georgian people got to stick together.
Lindsay sent the
your
next
accent
one.
Is the most funny thing I've heard.
I don't know what I was doing there. It just came out.
I would like. I mean, it's the best thing in the whole show. All right. So Jennifer, can you please make sure Glenn gets all of the Southern ads from now on?
I got to practice my Southern accent. I got to practice. I got to do phonetics training.
You got to just go with it. Okay. Lindsay sent in the next one.
I need to turn my fan on. It's hot in this house.
Lindsay, yeah, because you're blushing. Arabian mare and paint gelding for $1. I have an unregistered Arabian mare, approximately 12 to 13 years old. 14.1 hands. She's green broke. I've had... Oh, this is all one
of course, because there's apparently no broke horses in the world anymore.
No. By the way, again, green broke, 12 or 13. Yeah, like, yeah. Come on. She's green broke, but I've had her under saddle about 6 times with my trainer this summer. She's a sweet girl. She does do little warning bucks while on the saddle, but she gives up quickly and complies.
Oh, great.
Anytime somebody says they'll only buck for a little while, yeah.
You got to work the buck out of them. Yep.
Lunged beautifully, but needs a refresher. She's a bit buddy sour and does fine when you're working with her. That's not a real good sentence. I haven't had time to work with her recently. Ask me $700. That whole thing was she's great, but she's not great.
Yeah, okay. Not good.
Then the next paragraph. I also have a new gelding. He was brought to me as a well-broke pony, but I haven't tried to saddle him yet, so I cannot verify that. He didn't lunge for me very well when I had him in the round pen, but it was a new place, and my kids led the dog out, and then they wouldn't leave him alone. Can be a little bit of a food bully. But not too bad. I've only had this guy for about a month, so I don't know a lot about him. And that's the reason I'm selling him for less than what I paid for him, asking $700.
Do you know what this screams?
I don't.
Dealer. When you see the prices are all the same on horses and they're talking and they come up with these outlandish stories, it's a dealer and they just got it in 2 days ago and they're turning it around. And he bought it for $5 from the neighbor. That screams dealer to me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't have ever called about this horse. So I would never have gone.
We do have a theme today, boy. Shelly Crosby sent in the following one, a black yearling colt, $800 in Polden.
That's Georgia. County, Georgia.
I'm not believing you. I have a grade black yearling gelding. He is gentle and halter broke, stands tied to his dam, was a row ranch. Wait a minute. This doesn't have any punctuation
all
at all.
Take deep breath, buddy.
I have a grade black yearling gelding. He is gentle and halter broke, stands tied to his dam, was a row ranch mare. He is a stout yearling. He will make awesome workhorse or trail horse. The only reason this horse is up for sales, my wife is pissed off that I bought another horse. Otherwise, he would not be go anywhere. I will trade for things that don't eat. Call or text. My wife is pissed off. That's a switch. It's usually the other way.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God.
This is our last ad. And I kind of made it the last ad. And Jennifer, please mark.
No, wait
a minute. Please mark 1 hour, 22 minutes exactly. Go ahead, Jamie.
I'll do the ad if you read the title.
No. This is going in the best ofs. Jennifer, did you mark 1 hour, 22 minutes? Okay, go ahead. Thanks to Jessica Troop for sending this in, by the way. She had to know I was going to do this. Go ahead. Hey, I did my really bad Georgia accent.
The title of the ad is...
Go ahead.
I hate you so much. I hate you so much right now. I'm crying. The title of the ad is Hog Semen Transporter, $200.
Oh, there we go. I'll add that to the semen best ofs. Go ahead.
Very, very well-made semen transporter. Oh, my God. Also can be used to transport organs. Or anything that needs to stay at a constant temperature. I'm crying. It was only used once. And for a very short time.
What is a semen transporter anyway?
Why would you say that it's specify it as a hog semen transporter and then also say, and you can transport organs?
Are like, hog semen different than other semen?
I'm going to continue. It works very well. Can be plugged into a 12 volt car plug or a standard wall outlet in any home. Both plugs and instructions included. This unit is very nice. Oh my my God.
Practically brand new.
Keeps going. It belonged to my wife's uncle, but he died. He purchased this unit shortly before his passing. It is like new. Email me or text me with questions if the ad is up and still available. I can't
You're
even.
Crying.
We have a winner. For the year.
Jessica now wins every prize we have the rest of the year.
I feel like I should just send you $10 on top of the prize. Like, if you see that title in a Craigslist ad, you have to click on it.
Hog semen transporter.
All right.
It's a nice chest. Oh, God.
Like, why specify? Never mind. There's just too many.
Don't try and understand it. Just don't try and understand.
Too much going on.
What a great batch of ads you guys had today. Congratulations. So were you giving it to, do we have any choice? It has to go to Jessica.
Gosh, there were some really good ones, but my God, there's no.
Whew. All right. I need to call it a day because I'm just worn out now.
I will kill
what
you.
What a show. We went from all the emotions of John on to horse archery to that. To that. What a show. Well, we'll be back on Monday. You all have a great weekend. We missed the worst of the storms and we're still on the air, so that's a big plus for the day. And be sure to check out all the other shows. As I said, the Dressage and the Stable Scoop shows are one you're going to want to check out this week. Anything else, Jamie? Good luck picking up your new mare.
Yes, I'm getting my baby mama tomorrow. So, wish me luck.
All right. Good luck. Have fun.
Spay neuter geld, everybody.
Hey, wrong one.
If you ain't met
Wait a minute.
One by now.
How about that one?
I'm so excited that I learned my horse has a cream gene.
Cream gene.
I thought that would win.
We invented a new color. It's the root beer dun.
Yeah. Right. That the book of wisdom from Jamie.